Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, First Class, 11 May, 2025, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Okay, before we get started this morning, a couple of things. First of all, today, Greg Morton down here, it's his birthday today. It was your birthday and you brought all the food for halftime. We should have brought it for you. So happy birthday, Greg. And also want to remind you that this Saturday, May 17th, 10 a.m., we will have a memorial service for Randy Frick. This Saturday, May 17th, 10 a.m. Get here early. We start right on time. And also, if you look out in the foyer, in the hallway, we got a bunch of flyers for Vacation Bible School. Take as many of these as you would like to give to people in your neighborhood or your family or friends, at work, anybody that you would like to know that we have Vacation Bible School this summer, and give those out. We've already had several people signed up for it, and it's a great opportunity. It's going to be fun to get to heaven and see how many of these, well, we've been doing this now for so many years, they're not little kids anymore. They're full adults and they got their own kids. How many of them believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior at Vacation Bible School? It's multitudes and multitudes. So take as many of these flyers as you would like and give them out to family, friend, at work, neighborhood. And, I guess it's a, what day is this? Mother's Day? Oh, Mother's Day. Well, here's my Mother's Day sermon. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Answer, the rooster. You got to go back and study Genesis. The rooster came first, and the chicken came from the rooster's rib. There you go. All right, Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, let's start the corrected translation looking at verse 8. Moreover, the ones who are in the flesh, that is, under the authority and control of the sin nature, absolutely are not able to please God. However, you are not in the flesh under the control of the sin nature, but in the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, assuming that the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit from Christ, this one, the unbeliever, does not belong to God. Verse 10. In fact, if Christ is in you, the indwelling of Christ, on the one hand, the body is subject to death because of the sin nature, but on the other hand, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is life because of righteousness. Verse 11. Now, if the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, from the one, God the Father, who raised up Jesus out from all the dead ones, indwells you, first class condition, and he does, the one who raised the Christ out from all the dead ones will also make alive your mortal bodies by means of his Spirit who indwells you, the resurrection. Verse 12, so then, brethren, royal family of God, we are absolutely not under obligation to the sin nature to live according to the norms and standards of the sin nature. Now, verse 12 prepares the way for the alternatives in our next verse, verse 13. You have a choice. God has given all of us in our soul a volition. We all have a volition. We all have a free will. So verse 12 prepares the way for the alternatives in verse 13. You have a choice. You can live your life according to the norms and standards of the sin nature, or you can live your life by the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Now, before I make this drawing, and you know what a great artist I am, that's your soul. Well, that's, I got to make your body bigger than that. At your body, and you're in your body, you have the sin nature, the old sin nature, and you also have the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a war going on between the sin nature and the Holy Spirit. They're trying to control your soul, but you have a guardian. And the guardian of your soul is your volition. Now I want you to start, before we get any further, turn over to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, we'll start at verse 16. So I say, literally the word here is peripateo, which is the word to walk. So I say, walk by the Spirit. And that means live your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit, and you will not gratify the lust patterns of the sin nature. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sin nature. They are at war with each other so that you do not do what you want. Okay, the Apostle Paul is telling us, Galatians 5, 16 and 17, here we are as believers in Jesus Christ. We not only have the sin nature in our body, but at the moment of salvation, the universal indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit. And now there's a war going on between the sin nature and the Holy Spirit as to who's going to control your soul. Now, here's your guardian. The guardian of your soul is your free will, your volition. Now, the sin nature is going to send up temptation, 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 all these temptations. Now, temptations are not sin, but the sin nature sends up temptations. Now, you have a free will. All you have to say is no. Say no to the temptation and stay empowered by the filling of the Spirit. So temptations come up, but you got a free will. Here, this is what protects your soul. All you have to say is no to those temptations. And so who's going to control your soul? Is it going to be the sin nature, or is it going to be God the Holy Spirit through the filling of the Spirit? Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being empowered by God the Holy Spirit. That word is plerao in the Greek. It was a word used for wind that filled the sail of a ship and empowered the ship through the water. That's how it's used in our life. God is saying, keep on being empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Filling of the Spirit means you're living by the power of God the Holy Spirit to live the unique spiritual life of the church age and glorify God. So we got a war going on. You got a free will. You got alternative. You have a choice. You can live your life according to the norms and standards of the sin nature, or you can live your life by the agency of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. So, after salvation, what? A lot of people will think, okay, I believe in Jesus Christ, fire insurance is paid up, that's it, that's the end of the line, the race is over. No, at the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, the gun has gone off. You've just shot out of the blocks. That's not the end, that's the beginning. After salvation, what? God wants you to grow up. He wants you to grow up. He doesn't want you to stay a spiritual baby. When you first believe in Christ, you're a baby believer spiritually. He wants you to grow up. 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you do that through the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. You learn the Word of God, believe the Word of God, and as you learn and believe the Word of God, you grow up spiritually in your relationship with Jesus Christ. God wants you to grow all the way up to spiritual maturity. He doesn't want you to stay a believer. If you just stop after salvation and that's it, you'll be a baby believer all your life. You'll be a believer. You can't lose your salvation. You have eternal security. But you'll just be a baby all of your life. God's plan for you is to grow up. When you believe in Christ, the gun's gone off. I love to view it as a race. Track and field. You're out of the blocks. Now you're running a race. And that race is from that moment of salvation all the way till the physical death or the rapture, whichever occurs first. So you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You have eternal salvation. But after salvation, after faith in Christ, now you have alternatives. And that's verse 13. You can live your life according to the norms and standards of the sin nature. But if you do that, you are destined to die. And that's maximum divine discipline. Or you can live your life by the agency of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And then you will live. You will live the spiritual life and you will glorify God to the maximum. The solution to the problem of the sin nature is found in the unique spiritual life God has for us today in the church age. You are absolutely not under obligation to the sin nature to follow the policy of sin and evil with its lust patterns. Having no obligation to the sin nature clears the decks for us to follow the policy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The policy of the Lord Jesus Christ for the church age believer is to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, the filling of the Spirit, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, grow up to spiritual maturity, and fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. So, now in verse 13, your alternatives after salvation. And these alternatives are based on the fact that we have a war going on inside of our body. So the first alternative, Romans 8:13. For if, we always start with the thundering diction of the King James, for if ye live after the flesh, and this is the postpositive conjunction gar plus the conditional particle ae plus the present active indicative of zao, plus the prepositional phrase kata, plus the accusative singular of sarx. Now, the postpositive conjunction gar looks like this in the Greek. That's G-A-R, gar. And this is, gar is an emphatic gar, and it may be correctly translated certainly, or yes, in truth, or indeed. And we're going to translate it indeed. And then we have the conditional particle AE plus the indicative. Looks like that in the Greek and in the English, AE plus the indicative. Now that introduces a first class condition. And this first class condition says, for the sake of argument, let's say you are zaoing, living the carnal reversionistic life according to the sin nature. So indeed, if you are living according to the sin nature, under the authority of the sin nature, first class condition, for the sake of argument, let's say you are, well, ye shall die, it says. And this is the present active indicative of mello with the present active infinitive of apothnesko. Now this is neat in the Greek. This is why you go to seminary. To find out exactly what God the Holy Spirit is putting down here in His Word. So we have first the verb mello, and mello is used with an infinitive following, and here the infinitive is apothnesko, to die. A couple of things about that verb mello. First of all, one, literally the verb mello means to be about to do something or to be on the point of doing something. That's literally, to be about to do something, to be on the point of doing something. Point two, Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon on page 502, tells us that mello denotes an action that necessarily follows a divine decree. Mello denotes an action that necessarily follows a divine decree. Three, and therefore it is correctly translated, is destined, or must, or will certainly. Is destined, must, or will certainly. And point four, the infinitive following is apothenesco, which is the verb to die. Looks like that in the Greek. That's A-P-O-T-H-N, long E-S-K, long O, apothenesco. The infinitive following is apothenesco, which means to die. And five, this death is maximum divine discipline from God. So the corrected translation, indeed, if you are living according to the sin nature, under the authority of the sin nature, first class condition, for the sake of argument, let's say you are, then you are destined to die. And that's maximum divine discipline. That's the sin unto death. So, now we have studied the back on our Thursday night class in 1 John, we studied the doctrine of the sin unto death. So, I refer you to your notes on our Thursday night class and 1 John 5:16 and the sin unto death. We're not going to review that again here. So, indeed, if you are living according to the sin nature, under the authority of the sin nature, first class condition, for the sake of argument, let's say you are destined to die. Maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. So, one, the first alternative that you have as a believer is to make bad decisions. Bad decisions to live your life under the authority of the sin nature. So when that temptation comes up to your volition, you say yes to the temptation and commit the sin. Get out of fellowship with God. When you get out of fellowship with God, you wind up entering into Satan's cosmic system. So the first alternative you have as a believer is to make bad decisions, to live your life under the authority of the sin nature. You don't say no to the temptation when it comes. You say yes. You commit the sin. You get out of fellowship with God. Two, when the sin nature dominates the believer, the result is the production of sin and evil. And this is a part of the lust patterns of the sin nature. The sin nature has lust patterns, all different types of lust patterns. So when the sin nature dominates the believer, the result is the production of sin and evil by way of the lust patterns of the sin nature. Three, only the use of rebound. Rebound, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly, you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. Now, get up and move on forward. Get on with the race. So, God's given us this great problem-solving device, rebound. 1 John 1:9, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, instantly restoring us to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and our spiritual life. So only the use of rebound, followed by living the spiritual life, by the spiritual skills, the filling of the Spirit, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, can protect the believer against reversionism and dying maximum divine discipline. Only the use of rebound, followed by living the spiritual life, by the spiritual skills, by the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, can protect the believer against reversionism and maximum divine discipline. 4. You cannot afford to live your life under the authority of the sin nature. You cannot afford to live your life under the authority of the sin nature. When you're living under the authority and control of the sin nature, it's impossible for you to please God. And we saw that in verse 8. Moreover, the ones who are in the flesh, under the authority and control of the sin nature, absolutely are not able to please God. So you cannot afford to live your life under the authority of the sin nature. 5. The result of living your life under the authority of the sin nature is divine discipline. Now, God does discipline us when we're living by the sin nature. What's the motivation for God to discipline us? Because He loves us. With infinite virtue love. He loves us with infinite virtue love. That's why He spanks us. He doesn't want to see us crash and burn. He doesn't like to administer maximum discipline to sin unto death. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll start at verse 5. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. You see, divine discipline is a family matter. We're royal family of God. We are the adult sons of God. So, divine discipline is a family matter. And then it says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those He loves. He loves. At the moment you place your faith in Jesus Christ, God imputes His righteousness to you. And God loves His righteousness wherever it is. He loves it. Now His righteousness is in you. He loves you with infinite personal love because you have His righteousness. He loves you. He loves you, and He has the greatest plan for you, and that great plan He has for you, He wants you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. He wants you to attain spiritual maturity. And He wants to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Fantastic blessings in time, and then crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ for all eternity. God's plan for you is He wants to bless you, bless you, bless you. But when you are making bad decisions to live your life out of fellowship with God, in reversionism, in Satan's cosmic system, well, then God has to spank you. Why? Because he wants you to get back into fellowship with God. So He disciplines you. Because the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son. Therefore, endure deserved suffering. Divine discipline is deserved. We deserve it from our own bad decisions. Endure deserved suffering as discipline. God is treating you as sons. This is a family matter. We're royal family of God. This is a family matter. He's treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and every believer undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us. and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers, human fathers, disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His fantastic blessings. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces the prosperous fruit of grace, righteousness, spiritual maturity for those who have been trained by it. So at the moment of your faith in Christ, God imputes His righteousness to you. You're justified by faith. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. God loves His righteousness wherever that righteousness resides. Now that righteousness resides in you. God loves you with infinite personal love. And He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. He doesn't want to see you crash and burn. He wants you to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance to maturity. He wants to see you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. So point five, the result of living your life under the authority of the sin nature is divine discipline. God will spank you. He starts out with warning discipline. And hopefully warning discipline will be enough. And you come to your senses and you realize you're out of line. You acknowledge your sins to God. You're forgiven and cleansed. You're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit. And you get moving on in your spiritual life. You hope, and there are people that that's all they need is warning discipline. But if you don't come to your senses and rebound, then God brings intensive discipline. And hopefully then you come to your senses and rebound, get back into fellowship with God and the filling of the Spirit. But there are some that don't at that point. Then God has to administer dying discipline. That's maximum divine discipline. That's not what He wants. But when you continue to make bad decisions again and again and again, over and over and over, that's the destiny that you have put out for yourself. You have a destiny if you just keep on living in Satan's cosmic system out of fellowship with God. You are destined for dying discipline. Point six. This believer loses out on the fantastic greater grace blessings for time that God has for the spiritually mature believer, and he loses out on the greater grace blessings for all eternity, crowns and rewards to be given at the judgment seat of Christ. So this believer loses out on these fantastic greater grace blessings for time and fantastic greater grace blessings for all eternity awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. 7. But I want you to make sure you understand, you can never lose your salvation. There is no loss of salvation. You have eternal security. The only thing you can lose, you lose out on these fantastic greater grace blessings that God has for you in time. You lose out on these fantastic greater grace blessings that God has for you for all eternity. But you can never, ever lose your salvation. You have eternal security. So, corrected translation. Indeed, if you are living according to the sin nature, under the authority of the sin nature, you are destined to die. Dying discipline. If you just, that's your destiny you've set out for you. Now in the last half of verse 13, we have the second alternative. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Don't you love the King James? But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. We have the postpositive conjunction de plus the conditional particle ae repeated plus the dative singular pneuma plus the present active indicative of thanatao plus the accusative plural of praxis with the definite article plus the genitive singular of soma with the definite article plus the future middle indicative of zao repeated. Now we have the conjunction de. D-E. De. And de is a conjunction of contrast, and it's correctly translated but. And it sets up a contrast between, I'm going to give you three things here. Sets up a contrast between one, living your life under the authority of the sin nature, with living your life by the agency of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. That's the first contrast. Living your life under the authority of the sin nature, contrasted with living your life by the agency of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. Second contrast, contrasting the carnal reversionistic life with the spiritual life of the winner believer. And then third, contrast divine discipline and maximum discipline, the sin unto death, with greater grace blessings that glorify God to the maximum. And we have the conditional particle ae plus the indicative of thanatao. And once again, it introduces another first-class condition. But for the sake of argument, if you are putting to death the deeds of the sin nature by the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, through the filling of the Spirit. So we have again this first-class condition. The indicative, first class indicative, for the sake of argument, if you are putting to death the deeds of the sin nature by the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, through the filling of the Spirit, pneuma is the word Spirit, that's God the Holy Spirit, that's the third person of the Trinity, emphasizing the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. The dative case of pneuma is the dative of agency. And with the dative of agency, the noun in the dative denotes the agent by whom something is done or accomplished. Now, there is in the Greek the dative of means, and there is in the Greek the dative of agency. What's the difference? Good question. The difference between the dative of means and the dative of agency is that the dative of means is impersonal, while the dative of agency is personal. So they're very close, but this is the dative of agency. The dative of means is impersonal, while the dative of agency is personal. But if by the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, and then the verb thanatao. Looks like that in the Greek, that's T-H-A-N-A-T-O, long O, thanatao. Thanatao, literally, this verb was used in a criminal court when a criminal was sentenced to be executed. That was its literal use of this word. So it was especially referred to the death sentence and its execution of a criminal. That was its literal use. Point two. Figuratively, thanatao is used in our verse for putting to death the deeds, the production of the sin nature. Sin and evil and all of its lust patterns. So figuratively, thanatao is used in our verse for putting to death the deeds or functions, production of the sin nature. Sin, evil, lust. So, point three. Notice the ending here. Very important. A-O ending. And in that A-O ending is the causative ending in the Greek. And you are caused, or you are motivated to put to death the deeds of the sin nature by the agency of the Spirit. So you're motivated. You're in fellowship with God. You're filled with the Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit causes you, motivates you to put to death the production of the sin nature. Four. The winner believer accomplishes this by living the spiritual life by the agency of the Spirit. You're living the spiritual life by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is God, the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So, the winner believer accomplishes this by living the spiritual life by the agency of the Spirit, the power of God the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Word of God in your soul that you have learned and believed, that has given you great spiritual momentum to attain the objective spiritual maturity and glorify God to the maximum. And then we have praxis. P-R-A-K-S-I-S. Praxis. A couple of things on praxis. It comes from the verb praso. P-R-A-S-S, long O. Praso. Comes from the verb praso. And the verb praso means to do or to accomplish, but most of the time it refers to actions that are not praiseworthy and is used for committing sin, committing something, committing personal sins, committing evil, committing production from the lust patterns of the sin nature. Two, therefore, the noun praxis means sinful deeds or evil deeds. Therefore, praxis means sinful deeds or evil deeds. Three, these sinful deeds and evil deeds come from the soma, the body. Come from the soma, the body. And point four, again, Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 807, tells us that in our verse, soma, body, is a synonym for the sin nature. It's a synonym for the sin nature. Arndt and Gingrich, boy, when you go home, get out your A and G and look that up. So soma, body, is a synonym for the sin nature. Five, the believer who makes the good decisions to put to death the deeds of the sin nature by the agency of the Spirit, he will live. Zao. He will live. Literally, zao means to live. Literally refers to physical life in contrast to physical death. Figuratively, zao means to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. This is a supernatural life that demands supernatural power for its execution. And that supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit and the powerful Word of God that you have learned and believed and is in your heart. God the Holy Spirit is the agent and the power to attain the objective of the spiritual life, which is to grow up, not to stay a baby, but to grow up to spiritual maturity, become a teleos believer, a spiritually mature believer, and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And then you will glorify God to the maximum. In the short time while you're here, you will glorify God to the maximum. In glorifying Christ, we receive greater grace blessings in time, and we receive greater grace blessings for all eternity, awarded at the judgment seat of Christ that follows right after the rapture. The resurrection of the church, the royal family of God, followed by the judgment seat of Christ. And for those winner believers, fantastic crowns and rewards will be given at that time. All right, well, we'll take a break here to give you a chance to go out. Greg Morden brought the refreshments out there. That's great stuff, so we better get out and get a part of that. And then we'll have part two in a few. There you go.